Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about, of course, what else but UFOs and the paranormal. And boy, like I say, there is so much to talk about. This is a very wide, growing field, and it's just so dynamic and exciting at this time in history. And I'm just so excited that so many people are becoming aware of what's going on. And that's why I'm doing this show. And I hope you enjoyed our show last week. We had a very interesting guest. His name was Brian Allen. He hailed all the way from Scotland to be on the show. And he has put out a couple of new DVDs. One's called The Ancient Code. And it's very, really interesting. It's about esoteric knowledge and rituals that stretch back into ancient history. And he's a very, very interesting guy, and it was quite an interesting show. He had a lot of information to share. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, remember all the shows are archived on the BBS website, so check it out if you get a chance. It was very interesting, and I did get a chance to look at his DVDs, which were really quite fascinating and well put together. Had a lot of experts in the field quoted and giving stories. So I recommend it. Very interesting. His name is Brian Allen. But let's move to our guest tonight. We're moving in a slightly different direction. And our guest, her name is Christy Robinette. And she is actually an intuitive psychic. And she has a website, which is called tangledwishes.com, and tells a lot about her and the sort of things she does. She's actually been having a spiritual experience seeing spirits ever since she was a very young girl, and, of course, had difficulty in the beginning understanding what was happening to her. I don't think that that's uncommon. But as she grew up, she learned to embrace her gifts and to use them to help people, and has now become quite influential in this field, and is performing all kinds of really amazing work, including not only giving readings for personal people, but working with police departments and private investigators and all sorts of groups to uncover all this spiritual wisdom. So we're very, very honored to have her on the show tonight, and I want you all to give a big welcome to our guest tonight, Christy Robinette. Christy, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So this is a pretty interesting thing that you're involved in. You know, it's not quite mainstream yet, but
it's getting there. It's becoming a little more acceptable than it was, say, just a few years ago.
I think so. I really do, and I'm really excited about it. And why do you suppose that is? I mean, why is there so much resistance to what is, I mean, to me, such a, I mean, strikes you right at your heart, right at your center. It's so central to what being human is.
It really is, and even when you bring the paranormal, the metaphysical, into the normal world or real existence, it actually makes everything makes sense. And, you know, anything from past lives to poltergeists to, you know, spirits to even UFOs, once you bring it into terms, into the real life, it does. It just balances everything instead of feeling so lopsided. And I think that a lot of people are really questioning their existence and questioning their life path. And because of that, because of a lot of television, a lot of radio that's embracing it and showing that it's not all these strange people that are wearing witch hats or that are, have the long flowing capes and crystal balls, even though some of these people still do exist, but that it is more mainstream and that it could be the mom next door. I'm the PTA mom next door. My kids go to regular parochial school, and most people do know what I am now. I've come out of the closet, so to speak, in the last couple of years. But I really think that television, such as Ghost Hunters and such, has really helped people in this industry so that they can see that there's more out there. There's some stuff that has hurt it also. There's a balance between the two. But for the most part, I think that it's really put a light, shed a light on it that hasn't been on there for years and years and years, and except for crazy movies and showing the flashing psychic signs and such. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The ghost movies have always been popular anyway, and now, like you say, those shows on TV, Medium and Ghost Whisperer, those two come to mind. So I think you're right. It is time for people to embrace this. So, well, let's go back
to normal people that like those shows. You know, it's my dad, who's
right.
like completely against psychics and stuff. His favorite show is Medium. You know, who knew? And I'm like, Dad, that's my life. I don't watch that because that is my life. So, you know, he's like, oh, really? You know, they always think that we're just, I call myself a kitchen witch, but, the whole visualization of that is I'm sitting, you know, stirring a pot, a cauldron or such, and throwing chickens in it or, you know, some crazy voodoo stuff. And that's just not the typical, that's not me. I'm not saying that's not everyone in this industry, but that's not me.
No. You know, it's funny because even people who are skeptical, I always ask pretty much everyone I meet, have you had an unexplained experience, anything paranormal?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone has at least one. So
right.
Skepticism.
Yeah. And it is funny because the more that you say what you are, the more people start to talk and come out of their shell, and it can be from little old ladies to, you know, a 12-year-old child, you know, that is all of a sudden going, oh, my gosh, you've had experiences too. Let me tell you my story. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like I said, all the stuff that's been locked up in the closet is now starting to open up slowly but surely, and it is nice. It is nice.
It's very nice. Yeah. Well, how did it all evolve for you? I mean, you were having experiences as a young child. Is that's correct?
Yeah, I was in a house. I lived in Detroit, Michigan, which is a very urban town, and was raised in a blue-collar type of a household, old Victorian house, and I thought it was haunted. But come to find out, I think I was the one that was haunted. I've just got the invisible neon sign that says, hey, this girl can see spirits, so come haunt her. but there was, I can still remember at 3 years old, seeing spirits and them playing with my toys. And my mom and dad would think that, you know, I was getting out of my bed and playing, and I wasn't. It was actually the spirits. But it wasn't until my great-grandmother, my grandmother's mom, came to me and said, your grandmother's coming over and she's going to be passing away soon, so you need to give her a hug. And a three-year-old trying to vocalize that to my parents ended up in me getting a spanking that grandma's going to die. And it scared the bejesus out of them. I had imaginary friends, so-called imaginary friends, they were actually spirits, and I would get into trouble for opening the door and talking to them and embracing them as real friends, and it became something that was cute to something that was very frustrating for my parents because, you know, they just thought that Christy had the over imagination and was just being completely wacky, I guess. So they put me in school. They put me in Lutheran school. It was about as much as throwing holy water on me. You know, let's give her some Christ and see if this will help it. And it didn't stop. I kept seeing spirits. They kept coming to me. I kept getting precog dreams. I could feel, see, hear the spirits. And my parents and my brother and sister didn't quite understand it. So I started to hide it until I was about 10 years old when we had a demon in the house.
Yikes.
And that wasn't the most fun experience ever. But it's very vivid because it was then that they realized that there was something out there and it wasn't just Christie's over imagination. It would terrorize me and it started to then terrorize my brother. It would hold us down. It would choke us. It would jump up and down on the bed. It would laugh. It would grab at our ankles. It did all this stuff just to terrorize us, and I was so petrified of my room. And what was ironic is, as a child, I was so upset that kids wouldn't come over to my house. And even last week, I did a conference with someone that I had gone to grade school with, and she said, "I hated your house." She goes, "One time I was sleeping over, and this thing started to choke me." And she goes, "I never slept over afterwards." And I'm going, okay, so they didn't hate me. They hated the house, and they realized something was in it, and no one ever told me that.
Wow,
so my parents finally left the house, but it wasn't until after I had already left the house. And thankfully, knock on wood, we have not been terrorized by the demonic presence. But it still is, it's incredibly vivid. And there aren't as many, you know, a lot of people, because of ghost hunters and Paranormal State and television shows like that, there's so many people calls that I'm getting that say they have a demon in the house, and I'm telling you that there's not like 5,000 demons wandering in people's houses. It is very unusual for people to have a demon in the house.
That leads me to a question: is, you know, what exactly is a demon? Is it so? Are there non-human spirits?
I think it's different, and some people may disagree with me, but because there's negative entities, just as if you're a bad person on this side, you cross over, you're going to be a bad person on the other side too. So that would be a negative entity. Demons, to me, are from a biblical sense, just like an angel is, and they are the devil's minions. They typically don't possess, and I'm not a demonologist in you know, any sense of the word, but I've been told several times over that because I was chosen by that demon, that I do tend to get a lot of people that call me on demon cases. And I'm like, I'm one of the light. I don't really want to deal with the dark. But it more comes from, it's a different feel, Preston. It's hard to describe when you're in the presence of a house with a demon. It's a heavier feel than a negative energy. They really do create this just dark feel around you. And they typically, like I said, they don't possess, but they oppress you. And they can cause depression, and they can cause different physical ailments. And they manifest in different ways. So you can have, what they would do to us is they would send crows in our house. And my mom was petrified of birds. And we would constantly have crows in the house and couldn't figure out how they were getting in and have to get them out. Or rodents. Wow. We hated mice. They just create ways, whatever your fear is, they completely go after that fear and they throw it at you. So I don't want to, I've worked on demon cases. I've got one currently, and every time I go to make an appointment to go help bless the house, something not awful happens, but something happens that's of the negative sense. A couple years ago, we were going to the house, and just a few minutes before we got there, it was a bright and sunny, beautiful day, and a tree fell, and it would have fallen on our car if we had been there just a couple minutes before. So they create that fear because they don't want to go anywhere.
Right. So we're.
But there's so many theories on it.
Yeah, it's controversial, no doubt about it. I mean, Hans Holzer, he was a major ghost investigator. He says he never ran into a single demon case. So.
Really.
Whereas Ed and Lorraine Warren, of course, if you read their stuff, it's very convincing.
Yeah, you know, and I, like I said, I've had a lot of calls where they have said that they have a demon, and then when I go into it, it's not a demonic presence at all. I've only really had, the one that I grew up with that it was definitely a demon. And the reason why I know this, not just because of the feeling, but my dad was a deacon in the Lutheran church. And at that time, he was teaching a class on Revelations. And he had taken me, I don't know why he took a 10-year-old, but whatever, took me to a Presbyterian church to see a lecture of this man that visited third world countries and did exorcisms. He was a Presbyterian minister. And during the lecture, the minister says, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, we forgot to pray." before we did the recordings. Everyone was doing a recording of it to listen later also. And he goes, it sometimes doesn't work before you know, if you don't pray. So we prayed, went on with the lecture, and we came home. My dad put the tape in the tape recorder and hit play. And we had the most eerie noises on that tape until you heard amen. And then the lecture went just fine. But it was hellish moans and screams and just the strangest thing. And everyone in that audience had exactly that same thing. And at that time, then the activity started to stir up. And my dad, who wasn't buying at all what I was seeing, he again thought that, you know, Christie's act of imagination again, but he actually ended up burning all of the books that he was helping to teach that class with because it was Aleister Crowley and anything negative. And, it was sort of like bringing a Ouija board in, which is another, you know, completely debatable and controversial subject. But, you know, it was like he was opening this portal to whatever was negative and all the demonic sense. And with anyone that's in a depressed state or anyone that's in a lower vibration state, they're just going to hook on to that. And that's what was going on. So that was one reason why I knew it was demonic, just because of that. Plus we had some other crazy things where it would throw rocks at us from the backyard and nobody would be there and our knives disappeared. We found them buried in the backyard, laid up, and it was really crazy, crazy stuff. But, yeah, I don't think that there's a trillion demons running around. I just don't.
Right. Well, it wouldn't make sense, really. People seem to get along day to day.
I did have a minister recently email me who said that, I forgot what denomination, he might be non-denominational. He said that because 2012 is right around the corner and that's the end of the world, that the demons are sort of, the portal is open wider for them to attach on to people. And I sort of looked at that and I went, really? I scratched my head. I'm like, really? People still believe that? You know, that 2012 is the end of the world and so the demons are going to get their chance to recruit as many people that they want over to the other side? I don't know. I wasn't buying that.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
No, yeah, well, there, it was sort of like I could visualize like olden days when the man shows up and his, horse-driven carriage, and he starts saying, the end of the world is coming, the end of the world is coming, you know, I'm selling tithes, so, you know, $500 and I'll save your soul and the demon won't come to you. And I don't know, he was a pretty well-known minister, and I was really surprised that that was the response that he gave me. I was like, oh, okay, that's a new one.
Right. Well, religion, I don't, a lot of people are turning away from it now and turning to, you know, people like you, I think, because, it makes more sense.
More of a spiritualist, yeah. And I actually, I'm Lutheran, you know, if you want to put a label on it. I read for an awful lot of Catholics. I actually read for a lot of Catholic priests. It's not uncommon for me to have a nun in my office that wants a reading, and it's weird that they are embracing a lot of it, and the practices of what you might call spiritualism is evolving into a lot of, it sort of meshes together, such as smudging, if anyone's heard of smudging, which is utilizing white sage and oxidizing, you know, neutralizing the environment of any negative so that you can bring your energy into it. Roman Catholics do that after every service. They have for years and years and years used white sage to bless and neutralize the environment of their altars. And that just sort of goes with the Wiccan and the pagan and the spiritualist, and it all blends together.
Interesting. Native American. That's very interesting. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've got a lovely Native American guide who, that's where I'm so drawn to the herbs. And it's the same thing with herbs. We do spells every year. We blow out our birthday candles. That is a spell. You're putting your intentions onto a wish. And it doesn't have to be sitting over a cauldron and throwing a frog in it. You know, that's a typical old-fashioned term of a spell.
Oh, interesting. So we're practicing it even though we don't even realize it.
It's the whole law of attraction. Whatever you put your focus on expands, and whatever you do that, you're going to receive the dividends of that. So if you're putting your wishes out there and you believe, then you're going to receive it. But if you are negative about it, because I get so many people to say, well, I really want this and I believe this, but you put that but out there, and it's going to completely negate what your wish is or what your intention is. And I think that's why a lot of people go for, like, the amulets or talismans, because it's a constant reminder of that wish, or a mojo bag, or what have you that people hold on to, or even a crystal. They put their intention into that crystal. And that's where that magic comes into play, is your own intention, is where the magic is. It's not necessarily in the materialistic piece of it.
Right.
In your wish.
Wow. So growing up, you know, it wasn't scary for you in the beginning until, you know, you had, of course, those unpleasant experiences. But, I mean, initially, seeing all these ghosts, it didn't scare you?
It still scares me. To be perfectly honest with you, it still frightens the heck out of me. I wake up often with precog dreams or with premonitions or with postcog dreams, what have you, and it'll startle me. And it's pretty much like if anyone out there watches Medium, and the beginning of hers is usually they're sleeping, and then she wakes up and she's like, oh, and her husband goes, but, you know, and she starts making phone calls or journaling or what have you. And that's pretty much exactly what happens just about every single night at my house. And bless my husband for putting up with it. He wakes up every single time and he's like, what? You're okay. And I'll be like, plane crash or, you know, earthquake or murder or something. And I don't know how he doesn't have horrible nightmares from the stuff that I grab a hold on to, you know, in the evenings. But he's a very patient man with me. But no, it still scares me. Even doing different paranormal investigations or such, I still do get scared. I'm afraid of the dark. And I've heard that a lot of mediums are afraid of the dark, because it's the unknown, it's what might be, you know, lurking in the shadows. So I've always slept with a nightlight. I feel like I have control.
I mean, for you, the dark is actually filled with spirits, so it's not like there's nothing there. There is something there.
There is something. Well, and there is something there in the light, too, which is ironic, because, you know, you don't necessarily have to have it completely dark to see the spirits. It can be, you know, in the light, or it can be in the shadow or a closet or what have you. And I drive the paranormal investigation teams absolutely bonky. Because if they call me on, I don't work with one exclusive team. I get called all over the United States to help with them. And I'm always like, I need my flashlight. And they're like, Christy, I'm like, swear to God, do not turn all the lights off. I am too frightened. So I normally have a flashlight, or I have something that I keep on me when they do the dark time, or, you know, when they do lights out. So it, I drive them crazy.
Right. Well, when you see a spirit, are you seeing it physically, or is it more like in your mind's eye? Do you know what I mean?
I see it physically. I see it as if it's solid, typically, I would say 90% of the time, and it stands in front of me. It depends upon the time of passing. If it's within the first 6 months of the passing, I typically see just the energy, or I feel the energy, and as they progress on the other side, or even grounded, they come across as gray to me, but they look solid to me. When they go onto the other side, the longer that they've been crossed over, the more developed they look to me. So that's sort of how I can get the timing of when they passed away. And I normally get five, because there's no time on the other side, but I normally get 5 years. Like, okay, they passed away within 1 year because it looks different, or within 6 months, 6 months to a year, and then 1 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15. And that's the clearer that they are, is how they show it to me. And I'm actually working with a scientist on how I see them and how they get their documentation off of photos or video to see if that correlates the way that I see it with how clear the photos turn out to be. You know, like the aura or the light that comes from the entity, if it actually correlates with the way that I see it. So
right.
We've been working a little bit on that, which is really, really intriguing, to put those two things together. And I don't know if any other psychic sees it that way or medium sees it that way. That's just the way that I see it. I know even John Edward, who's well-known, world-renowned, he sees them in his mind's eye. So he sees them in his head. And I can reach up and touch them.
Oh, interesting. Well, Christy, here's another question I wanted to ask you, which is about precognitive dreams. Because, you know, I never had them growing up, but after my mom died and I saw her ghost and I got real involved in all this stuff and reading books about paranormal and dreams and picked up a book on out-of-body experiences and got really good at that. And it seemed like every time I would have an astral projection experience, I would also have a precognitive dream. And I'm wondering, how is it we can see the future? And, I mean, do you have any speculation on that? And you say there's no time on the other side. That fascinates me. Because, I mean, how what is it like to be a spirit and perceive something like that?
Well, the way I think that for you personally, Preston, is because you made yourself aware of it and you put yourself in that vibration, that's why those two things are correlating, because you're vibrating at that level where the astral projection and the precog sort of are a match to one another, you know, like two shoes that fit. So that's what's going on there. But that's why it's so difficult with dreams to predict. And that's why I'm very, you know, anyone that wants to explore that astral or the precog dreams, they have to be very firm with their guides and who is showing them these dreams, if they want to help, say, prevent a plane crash, or if they want to help prevent someone from getting injured or hurt, because you can do that by asking them, your guides, to show you the different visuals, that didn't make sense, visuals around, such as, I saw a plane crash last week, and they said specifically it was cold out, and as I looked around, I could see that it felt like October, and the leaves were changing. And I ask them for the season. So I'm very firm as, if you want me to help, if there's a reason that I'm getting these dreams and I'm supposed to help somebody, and it's not just because you're scaring me, you know, with knowing the future, then I want to know specifics. And that's what I do with police cases, too. I work with my guides and say, you've got to give me specifics. It's got to be more than she's in the water, you know, or, you know, she was strangled by her boyfriend. You got to give me something more than that. So I typically have them give me more environmental stuff so I can see the season, even if it's, you know, a calendar. They'll show me the calendar. They'll show me at least the week. And I think that it's working with your guides, working with your angels, working with whoever you work with on the other side, and asking them for more specific things. And that's where the time piece of it seems to come in, because when we cross over, which is a sort of a completely different subject, but when we cross over onto the other side, we live. It's just not painful like it is here. We actually have a life over there, and we exist. We're not just up in the clouds playing harps all day and looking at our loved ones that are still living and saying, boy, it sucks to be them. So we actually do things, and there's a great fiction novel out there called The Lonely Bones, and she describes in the book, and it's fiction, but it actually is pretty right on the way that I have been explained by those on the other side as to how heaven, so-called heaven, is, and it is what you make of it. So say you've always wanted to live on a farm with 100 cats, you're going to live on a farm with 100 cats. you know, it's going to go with exactly with what you want it to be.
Nice. Well, you can see how that could create someone's own hell then as well, huh?
And that's exactly it. Because if you are a negative type of a person and you don't know how to do the visualizations such as Law of Attraction teaches you to do in this lifetime, if you're not learning that lesson, then you can create your hell.
Wow.
So that's why it's so important to learn how to visualize what you want and not focus on what you don't want. We're being thrown so many lessons now with the way the economy is right now, and there's going to be a lot that fail this lesson. Are you going to continually be dwelling on there's not enough money, we don't have health care, everyone's losing their jobs, the car industry is falling apart, or are you going to embrace this is a new beginning and a new opportunity and a completely new slate for me? And it's, you know, the cup is half full or it's half empty. How are you going to look at it? And it's not being, you know, completely overly crazy optimistic. It's being realistic and practical. But, again, what you focus on will open that doorway. So if you're focusing on the negative, you're going to get more negative.
Right.
And that's the same on the other side, too. If they're focused on, oh, great, this isn't where I wanted to be, whoever rules up there, and I do believe in a higher power, whether it's a he or a she, my husband says it's Alanis Morissette from Dogma, but that's a whole other story. and I say it's not, but we fight over that all the time in a joking manner. Then, you know, that's what it's going to be. You know, he, she, whatever it energy is going to say, you're a miserable human being, I'll give you a miserable existence. Because if you can't see farther than your hand, then that's it. So start dreaming, people. Start dreaming.
Right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our guest is psychic intuitive Christy Robinette. She's been doing this work for many, many years and has a website. If you'd like to learn more about her, it's TangledWishes.com, www.TangledWishes, all one word, .com. It's got all sorts of things on there, her bio, testimonials, upcoming events. So after the show, check it out. But right now we have lots more to talk about with her. And I want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. If you'd like to call in and ask a question or if you have a comment or would like to share a story, we'd love to hear from you. I'm going to give you up the toll-free number right now, so grab a pen. It's 888-228-4494. Again, that is 888-228-4494. And if you're international, there are international call-in numbers on the website as well. So, yeah, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Christy, I have so many questions. Gosh, you have so much knowledge to share. That this is such a treat.
Well, thank you.
What's it like working with the police? And this is something, you know, that's portrayed a lot on TV, I think, and I know it's still controversial. But
it's frustrating. It's frustrating. I guess it's probably the best. It depends on which police department. I've worked with the police for about 10 years, and most of the time it is undercover. The victim's families or the private investigators are more apt to say, I've got a psychic on the case, than the police departments are. They'll take me more incognito, or, you know, undercover. I'm the undercover psychic, and throw files at me and say, help. For the most part, I don't call them if I'm getting a dream or if a victim has come to me. It's very rare for me to call them and say, hey, such and such came to me in a dream and I'm a psychic and do you need my help? Because they get that so often and they're bombarded with all these people. And then they have to check out every single clue, every single email, every single phone call. They have to check out and it puts them on wild goose chases. And I've seen it happen, and I feel so bad for them. So I normally wait for them to contact me. And some do and some don't. And, you know, some want the media exposure, and I don't. I don't want to be, you know, the coffin chaser. I don't want to be the one that's, you know, chasing the hearse and saying, hey, I know who the killer is. But I worked with some great police officers that are actually, I call them as close as family to me, and I worked with some really downright awful police officers that ridicule me, and even when I'm right, even when I draw the maps to the location of the body, they still look at me like I'm crazy. I've gotten put in pretty darn close to the back of a cop car because I knew too much, thinking that I was actually part of the case.
Really?
And it's gone from one extreme to the next. So it can be the most thrilling and exciting thing to the most frustrating thing, where I've jumped up and down and screamed that they've got the wrong person in jail, to that they're not looking in the right place for the body or the being, you know, if they're still alive. And it pretty much runs the gambit of that. You know, it depends on the departments. And even the one department that I work on, for a lot of different cases, even when they bring me in, they know what I am, and they whisper, and they always say, oh, you don't look like a psychic. I say, oh, you don't look like a cop. You know, I always will have a smart aleck response right back to them. But I don't see a donut in your hand, so you must not be a police officer. But just like, you know, I don't have a crystal ball in my hand, so. But it's still kind of crazy for them to bring on psychics. And I've been tested. Many of them will actually have me do readings for them before I work on a case. Some it's just from my reputation that I'll get a phone call and say, we've got such and such missing and we need your help. Once in a great while I will send them information, but like I said, I don't like to do that. And I've got a pretty, not to be egotistical at all, but I've got a pretty good reputation for finding missing, not animals though. Missing animals has a completely different energy to me, so I don't do missing animals. I get a lot of people that ask for that. But the missing human beings, they have a different energy, and they typically will call on me at nighttime and give me information about where they are and who killed them, and like, it's pretty much like a conversation that I have with spirits. Sometimes it's more like charades, and sometimes it's they're actually fluently talking to me and giving me as much information as they can. And that comes over the process of several nights to sometimes several months. Like, they don't just sit down and we talk for hours on end and they give me everything. Sometimes they'll give me blips of stuff in one night and then blips in the next night. And I write everything down, and I'll give it to the police, even as minuscule as it is. And most of the time the police will look at me and say, very interesting, thank you. And I don't get any validation back. Normally I don't get any validation back. So that's kind of frustrating. And not that I want the pat on the back, but to just know, okay, Christy, it makes sense. But you don't always get that. So you don't always get the rewarding feeling like you're helping, even though you know that you are.
Well, that's the important thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. Well, I should think that the police would be more interested in using psychics, considering, you know, that it's successful. I mean, that you're able to pull out information. And certainly there's shows on TV that are astounding that show people like you doing this kind of work. And it's very, very convincing, and to me, an extremely valuable
tool.
Yeah,
there's some great psychic investigators out there. There are some fabulous psychic investigators out there. And there's not a whole lot either. I was, a couple of years back, I was called by a network and asked if they could put one of my cases on the air, and I can't remember. There's one called Psychic Detective, and there's one Psychic Investigator, and I was asked by both of them. But the problem is with both of the television series is the police and the family have to go ahead along with it and want to be on camera. And a lot of the police departments, especially the ones that I work with them, they're undercover. So they don't want to be on camera, but which is why I didn't do the show. And again, I didn't want the whole media attention anyway, so that was okay. But they, I completely lost my train of thought, Preston, sorry. they had called, the producer said to me, you know, can you give me references of the departments that you work with? And I said, absolutely. And she said, really? And I went, what do you mean, really? And she's like, I have called about 70 different psychics who on their website say that they do police work. And she goes, not one of them can give me a reference. So a lot of people will use it as a ploy to get people in for readings, I guess, which seems completely unethical to me. But, you know, that's, so be it. So be it.
Right, right. Well, hopefully things will change, and I think they are already. So. Now, what's it like?
Yeah, I do, but it's not many people want to pay, you know, and I don't charge for my police cases at all. So, and that's a whole other debate also, whether psychics should get paid. But I don't charge for my police cases because that's taxpayers' dollars. You know, until the taxpayers say, okay, we're going to let a spellcaster or a psychic or a medium or what have you, you know, help the police, then no one's going to be getting paid. So I think it is what it is.
Well, I support it.
Yeah, well, thank you. We'll have to do a petition for that.
Exactly. So what's it like when you do a reading? I mean, can you kind of take us through a typical reading? How does it evolve? And can you do it over the phone?
Yeah, I do in person. I do email. I do phone readings. Energy is energy. So it doesn't, you don't have to be sitting across from me in a personal environment to have a reading done. For me, anyhow, and that's not like it with everybody because some people have more of a psychometry method in that they have to touch an object of the person in order for them to get the reading. So I think everyone's different, but for me, it just is. Normally I have them ask for their first name and their birthday and not for an astrological purpose whatsoever because I'm so bad with math. I'm not an astrologer and that's just not me. The only reason I do that is say your name is Mary Smith. There's probably a trillion Mary Smiths and I could be calling on a trillion different Mary Smith guides. And so the only way that I can decipher between which Mary Smith you are is by asking for your birth date. And then what happens is my guides, everyone has spirit guides, my guides sort of open the door and say, okay, I need Mary Smith, you know, her birth date, 111, you know, 47, I need her guides, you know, pronto, you know, and then her guides come forth. And then I get the information from her guides. And I pass that along to the client. And sometimes past loved ones will come along with the reading. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes there's no past loved ones that, you know, that's not what their focus is on. It's hard to decipher between the psychic and the mediumship. I don't ever hold them hostage. Say they just came there for a psychic reading and their father came through with a message. I never say, okay, pay another $200 and I'll bring your father's messages through. There's psychics out there that do that, which just baffles my mind too. But they don't, you know. I don't do that. So every single reading is completely different. Sometimes it turns into more life coaching. Sometimes it turns into more of, you know, what sort of information they need at the time. Such as I had a client this morning that came to see me who was suicidal. And I instantly went into action mode, and I never just give her a reading and then leave these suicidal people to be, because I tell them in a joking way I don't want to be haunted by my clients who've, you know, decided to kill themselves. So I instantly, you know, I have a Rolodex full of doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists, and I started going to work with the ones that I knew that was going to help her the most, and they came and they escorted her to get some assistance. So, but in the meantime, I gave her hope, and it wasn't false hope. It was, I don't see you dying, and I see you doing okay, and I see you getting off the medication or weaning yourself off a lot of the medication so that you can feel again, and there will be triumph, and there will be love again, and there will be growth from you. And I think that's mainly what a lot of people that come to readings, they really just want that hope. They want to know that there's something bigger and better out there. And I'm not a warm and fuzzy reader. I'm going to tell you exactly what the guys are saying. If it's something that is, I'm tactful about it, but I'll be blunt.
If it's something unpleasant.
That's not going to help them, you know, I won't say anything that's frightening. I had someone ask my husband, actually, that if your wife saw me getting run over by a train, would she say, I'm going to get hit by a train? And he said, no. She'll say, watch out for the train tracks. So I will give them as much information without scaring them, because I think that they can manifest that fear into being realistic. So I try to phrase it in a different way. I never do death dates. But say I see a medical problem with them, and I never diagnose, but if I see a medical problem, I will say, I think you need to go to the doctor. I had a client about 6 months ago that I was reading for, and this was sort of weird because it was at a party, and normally I keep those light and fun and, you know, not the sob fests or anything. And the lady, I could tell that she had cancer. It just was riddled within her that she had cancer. So I said to her, you really need to go to the doctor. There's a problem with your stomach, and your guys are saying it's really imperative that you go to the doctor. And she said, well, I'm going to Florida Friday, or whatever day it was, Friday, and do you think it can wait until I get back from Florida? I said, no. So it was about 6 months later, I hadn't heard from her, and her daughter called me and said, you had read from my mom at a party, and she had gone to the doctor the next day because you sort of scared her into there's something wrong with her, and she had pancreas cancer.
Oh, wow.
And said they immediately went into treatment. She said, but now she's dying, and she's in hospice, and she is calling for you to come and tell her what the other side looks like so she knows how to recognize it when she passes away. And that was, she ended up passing away before I could get there, before she passed away that day. And it was so rough on me, too, because I'm going, I felt responsible, you know, even though I know that was silly, that I wasn't responsible, but I felt responsible that maybe if I had, that party would have been sooner, or maybe, you know, and it was silly, silly things, but her daughter is like, no, you know, she's fine. She was fine when she passed away. She was at peace. And if you hadn't told her that to go to the doctor, the doctor said that she would have probably passed away within 4 weeks. So the treatment had given her an extra few months with her family. So, you know, every reading is different. Some are fun, some are lighthearted, some are more heavy like that. Some are, tear jerkers. Some are, you know, we laugh. It all depends on the situation. It depends on the reading. It depends on the person's guide. The other side's got a great sense of humor, but only if you have a sense of humor. So if you have a sense of humor, you're going to have a guide that's got a great sense of humor too. It would be a match to you. So if you've got someone that's completely dry and negative, it's probably not going to be a laugh fest. It's going to be something a little more on the down low.
Very interesting. Well, here's a question which I have to ask because I kind of ask it of all my guests. And
sure.
That's about UFOs. I know Michigan's got a lot of activity, and I was wondering, have you ever seen a UFO, or what do you think of this whole UFO situation?
I am petrified of UFOs.
No.
There's something about it that just really, really frightens me. Like I'm going to get abducted and then they're never going to let me go. I don't know. I think it's from watching Close Encounters when I was a little girl. There's just something that scares the heck out of me. I have seen a UFO though, and it was about 5 years ago. It was approximately around 4 or 5 o'clock. No, I think it was rush hour. It was about 5 o'clock in the evening, and we were my husband and I were driving on a main road with tons of cars around, and there was a UFO that it was so obvious that it was a UFO, and yet nobody else was seeing it.
Huh.
And it was so close, and yet I'm looking around trying to see if these people are seeing it, and nobody is seeing it. We actually pulled over into a parking lot, and there were a couple more cars that were looking up at it, but there was, like, nobody else there. And when I got back home, and I called one of my friends who went, she's since passed away, but she was with MUFON, I think, and I said, I saw a UFO. And she's like, oh, I got to put it into the database. And I wasn't the only one. There was other people that had already grabbed a hold of it, you know, and had added it to the database. And they said it was a cigar UFO, a cigar-shaped UFO.
Right.
But I've seen one. That's the only one that I've seen. I have gone on paranormal investigations with, I don't know if you're familiar with Nick Reiter. And I think it's either Reiter or Reiter, but he also studies UFO. He is a scientist out of Toledo, Ohio. And him and I went on an investigation with a house that was on a fault line, and they had a lot of different strange experiences. And it wasn't paranormal, and we were saying that it was more UFO, more alien. It just felt different. The vibration felt different.
Interesting. Wow.
My husband's seen 6 to 8 of them. He's seen a ton. So he swears that, you know, he's going to be picked up one day by the you know, government to saying, you've seen too many. We must take you now. I mean, every time he says that, I don't drink and I don't use drugs. And when I saw them.
Yes, that's a phrase I've heard many times from many different people.
I bet you have.
Well, Christy, we just have like a few minutes left. I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show, and I also want to give you a chance to tell our listeners anything that we might not have covered already, and you know, give out your website and any information that you want to share to close up the show.
Sure. Again, this is Christy Rappinat. My website is tangledwishes.com, and I am a psychic medium. I am a psychic investigator, and I am a warm and fuzzy law of attraction, motivational, you know, person that's always there. My clients become my friends. They actually do. So I think the most important thing out there, you know, with this economy and such, is to just believe that things will change and your life will change.
Right. Very good. Well, wow. How much fun it was having you on the show. I want to thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks. It was great being on. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. You too. It was just, I had a really good time. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, you too. Well, everyone, that's our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Christy Robinett, psychic medium. You can learn more about her at her website, www.tangledwishes.com, all one word. Very beautiful website, lots of information there, and I think you'll really benefit from checking it out, so please do. And I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest on UFOs and the paranormal on the BBS Network. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.